I'm so encouraged to be with you tonight in this nearly full church on a Saturday night. Praise the Lord. It's great to be here. And just to listen to these stories of hope and encouragement of what God is doing in your town. I think I've been to Ipswich about 6 or 7 times in my life. I know I need prayer for that sin. I recognize that now. But what I know is God is on the move, yeah? And he's on the move throughout our towns, our cities, our villages, our communities. And just to come afresh tonight into Ipswich and just to listen to those 3 short stories of hope, of what's happening when we step out in faith and engage with the community around us and how we see God's blessing. Sometimes the blessing comes slowly. Sometimes there's more instant connections. But just to be able to rejoice with you in that blessing is so encouraging for me. So even if you didn't enjoy tonight, I go home blessed. But I can see by your faces that you two are also receiving a blessing from the Lord. It's my privilege tonight to come, as it were, a stranger into your midst. But in the family of God, there are no strangers. There are just brothers and sisters that we didn't meet before. So it's my privilege to come among you as maybe somebody that you never met before. And the brief was, deliver us a word in due season. Well, how difficult is that? I don't know. But what I'm going to share with you tonight, very briefly, is a word that I sense I'm picking up in many places. And I share it with you for your thought, for your prayer, and to see if it finds a home here in Ipswich. Let me put some of this in context. Phil mentioned that I belong to a community for evangelism, Zion Community. We're based in Brentwood in Essex. As you can hear, I'm not originally from Essex. I'm from Leeds, in case you're spending the rest of the evening working out the accent. So I'm from Leeds with a posh accent. Okay. In my community in Brentwood, just over 30 years ago, sometimes things that are planted need time to come to fruition. Just over 30 years ago, a well-known leader in the church came to our community and he had a prophetic word. I don't think it was just a prophetic word for us. I think it was something that he was sharing as he went around the nation. But the word went something like, the days are coming when we will see people come tumbling into the church, but we need to be ready. More than 30 years ago, that word was given. Certainly, it was received, because I can still quote it 30 years on. And it's a word that I've gone back to so many times because I'm an evangelist, I'm engaging in evangelism, and as I go around and as I look, I'm thinking, Lord, is it the time? Is it the time? Is it the time? And I'm asking that question. And I'm sensing that that word is coming to fulfillment. But I think that sometimes we have to adjust our perspective, we have to adjust our mentality, we have to adjust our thinking to really see what God is doing. I've shared this word so many times when I've been on my international trips, and I've maybe been translated into other languages, and they always stumble over the word tumbling. There's going to come a time when people come tumbling into the church. And I try to explain it, and I go, you know, it's like when you have an accident. And the translator's looking at me saying, what, there's going to be an accident in the church? No. Like, you know, like a tumble, like in a circus. Oh, the church is going to become a circus. No. It's not really working. You know what we mean by tumbling. There's going to come a time when people come tumbling into the church. It speaks to me about maybe people won't be intentionally seeking, but they'll find themselves in church. Maybe they'll just be a young person in an exclusion unit, and they'll find themselves encountering the Lord, and they'll find themselves journeying into a faith community. I met a young man recently who was doing an Alpha course in central London. When anybody's beginning that sort of faith journey, I'm always interested in how did it begin? I said, how did you end up on an Alpha course? Tell me your story. And he said, completely by accident. I ended up on an Alpha course because one day I was in London without an umbrella. Okay, tell me more. Basically, he was going for an interview in his best suit, etc., etc. It started raining. He didn't have an umbrella. He looked for somewhere to shelter. There was a church. He walked in and had an overpowering encounter with God. He said, you know, I didn't look for God. I didn't find God. God found me. There's going to come a time when people come tumbling into the church. Are we ready? It's an interesting question, isn't it? I think when I look around the situations that I find myself in, when I look around the housing estate where I live, I can sense that people are becoming more and more desperate. You know, we live respectable lives. We say good morning. We look as if we're awake and healthy. But there is, within so many people, a sense of we want something more. I was in a church recently, and they were running a course for seekers. There was this young married couple, and I wanted to know their story. And I said, you know, what's attracted you to come on this course? And they said, well, nothing really, except we just sense that there's something more. Wow. There's going to come a time when people come tumbling into the church. Amen. And I think what I want to say to you tonight is you've already begun to touch this. You've already begun to sense it. You've already begun to see it. And I want to say to you, be encouraged, because God is on the move. Now, I shared this word somewhere recently, and I was with a friend of mine who's a bishop, and he said to me, in the break, somebody said, I don't like that woman. She's far too optimistic. Please. Yeah. I'm not an optimist, actually, by nature. I'm more a glass half full, not because I'm a pessimist, but because I just want to see where the gaps are so that they can be filled. I don't think it's about optimism or pessimism. I think it's about expectancy. It's about us expecting the Lord, who is on the move, to be at work in mission, because it's God's mission. It's not our mission. We share in the mission of God. And what we need to do is to connect with God who is on the move, with the God who's going before us, with the God who's preparing the way, with the God who's opening doors, with the God who is the light of the world. What we need to do is just to get alongside that God, to go deeper in the Lord, so that we can move in the way that the Lord leads us. Because I don't believe, really, that the work of the Lord is hard work. If it is hard work, maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe we've got into somehow striving to do our Christian duty. Nothing wrong with being, you know, doing our Christian duty, but you know what I mean. When it feels too hard, it's maybe because it's all effort. And sometimes when it's all effort, we need to pause and say, come Holy Spirit of God. Because it's the Lord who brings life. It's the Lord who sets the captives free. It's the Lord who goes before us. And our task is to simply follow and get behind what the Lord is doing. When I received the information about this evening, and I looked at what's the scripture for the evening, I was just sharing tonight with the ladies when I came in, I thought, oh, I must have given them that scripture, the Deuteronomy word that we heard, Deuteronomy 11. I thought, I must have told them that's the scripture. And I just shared that, and they went, no, you didn't tell us. And I went, well, that's even more amazing than I at first thought, because this is the word that I've been sharing for the last 10 years. It doesn't mean I've been saying the same thing for 10 years, in case you think that. Because a word comes as a seed that's planted in our lives, doesn't it? And it takes foundation. We've all got foundational words, I hope. And then the Lord unfolds something more and unfolds something more and unfolds something more. Well, this has been my 10-year word from the Lord. So the fact that I just suddenly found it as the word for tonight, and you've asked me to bring a word in due season, well, thank you. I don't have to try very hard. Now, in my Bible, this word has the heading Promises and Warnings. Wow. Are you a promises or a warnings person? They need to be held together, actually, in this text. But it's interesting because we were studying this word a few days ago with two young people. And when they began to read it, it's not a man-woman thing, please, but the young guy said, ooh, we need to take heed of the warnings. And the woman who was with him said, no, we need to grasp the promises. And actually, of course, we need to do both. That's why men and women go together well, because we have the full picture. What I want to pick up from this Deuteronomy word with you tonight is towards the end, and I'm not just separating this out. We need the whole text, but I'm being brief tonight. The Lord says, I will give your land rain in due season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, so that you may harvest your corn, your wine, and your oil. And I just want to pick up on that word as a word of encouragement and to try to understand things. You see, in the biblical lands, in the places where this word came forth, they plant their crops in the autumn time, because the summer is very dry and everywhere is barren. So they plant the seeds in September time. Oh, they told me now, because of global warming, I need to move to October, but it doesn't matter. The point is the same. The seed is planted in the autumn. And the first rain that comes is the autumn rain. And it's the autumn rain that enables the seeds to start getting germinated. It's the autumn rain that enables the small plants to begin to grow. The Lord gives us rain in due season. I believe that we have received that autumn rain from the Lord. I believe that tonight we've been listening to projects that have been watered by the autumn rain of the Lord. Things have begun to grow. Things have begun to develop. There is fruition. There is fruitfulness. And we thank God for that. But the Lord says, I will give your land rain in due season, autumn rain and spring rain, so that you may harvest your corn and your wine and your oil. I believe the season that we're entering into is the season of the spring rain. And the spring rain yields the harvest. There's going to come a time when people come tumbling into the church. Can we believe as church tonight that there is a harvest? Can we believe that? Not just because we're optimistic and not just because we want to agree with the preacher. Can we really believe it in our hearts? Because Jesus said, look all around you. Look at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. Look. We need to develop the faith perspective. We need to look with the eyes of Jesus. And if we're not careful, isn't it true that so often we look with the skeptical eyes of the world around us? We look with the hopelessness of the politicians or of the economists or of any other ologists that are out there. And if we're not careful, then our faith begins to we don't lose faith, but it begins to wane in its capacity to see with the eyes of the Lord. Jesus says, look all around. Look at the fields. Already they are white for harvest. I believe we're entering into a season of harvest time. A season of fruitfulness. You chose that theme for your evening. I didn't bring that to you. You brought that to me. But in this season of fruitfulness, we need to be ready. We need to be ready, first of all, to believe it. Because if you believe it, you pray it in. Yeah? So be expectant that the Lord is bringing us to a new time, and it's a harvest time, and it's a time of the spring rain. Be repentant if at times we fail to see the things that the Lord wants us to see. So often I pray that prayer, Lord, open my eyes and give me your vision. Yeah? Let's have that vision of the Lord so that we can see how we need to move to be a people who enable others to come tumbling into the church. And as I give you this word tonight, I also just want to encourage you to be patient. Now, again, when we mention this patient word, sometimes people think, oh, thank goodness, it was sounding like we might have to do some hard work. Now we can be patient, so we can sit back, relax, and do nothing. No, I know you're not that sort of Christians. You wouldn't be sitting here tonight. But James mentions this spring rain and autumn rain, and he does it in the perspective of saying, be patient. Be patient, brothers. This is James chapter 5. Until the Lord's coming. Think of a farmer. How patiently he waits for the precious fruit of the ground until it has had the autumn rain and the spring rains. We want to pray. We want to pray that we would be open to that spring rain of the Lord that yields the harvest. And we want to pray that we are ready and waiting and expectant for the Lord to let more and more people come tumbling into the church, come tumbling into the kingdom, come tumbling into the light and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my word for you tonight. Take it away, pray it, reflect upon it, and move in it, because God is on the move and he's raising up a people who he's calling to move with him and in him and through him and to do that together. Amen.